5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We've been away from home for a couple weeks. Preached a meeting out in California for a boy that was out of my church in Indiana. And then Brother Ricky Clark asked me to come and be with him. So we've been over there Sunday through Wednesday. And I was thinking last night when we finished up over there and went back to the Sharia's house where we were staying, I was thinking getting to come over here, and I was praying that the Lord would, it's been a while since I've been here, but I was thinking if the Lord gave me an opportunity to preach, what would I preach? And I brought this message on purpose, I guess, because I thought Brother R might ask me to preach, and the title of it is What Keeps You Going? 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Brother Richardson has been a dear, dear friend to me for a long, long time. When I got out of the Army, I had only been in an independent Baptist church in Germany. I'd never been in an independent Baptist church in the States. And it was kind of a mission church over there, you know. And so I didn't have a church home. And I visited a church over close to Muhlenberg County over there where we're from. And they weren't just exactly like we were. And I never believed that you're supposed to use real wine for communion. And they did. And he believed that if you wasn't part of the Baptist church, he was going to go to hell and stuff like that, and I didn't believe that, but he's independent Baptist, but that ain't the way we were taught over in Germany, and so I was going to Tabernacle to go to Bible college, and I came home on vacation, and we didn't want to go over there, even if it was just a few miles from the house, so we drove all the way over here, and I asked Brother R if I could just call this our home church while we were here, you know. I had to have a home church to go to Tabernacle, you know, and so Brother R became my pastor. He didn't even know it. I never joined the church or anything, but he was my pastor, he was a great, great blessing to me when I pastored in Central City, of course, and then up in Indiana, he'd come up and preach for me a couple times, and we've had a good time fellowshipping down through the years, but let me get into this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning of verse 8. I'm going to read some scattered verses. So let's pray first, and then we'll get into the message. Father, we thank you for what we've had an opportunity to be a part of this morning. And Lord, I've sensed your presence ever since the moment I walked in. And Lord, to get to see some old friends. And then, Father, for the Holy Spirit to speak to my heart like he has. And Lord, this day has been worth the trip. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll help me, Lord, as Lord, you know my heart. And you know, Father, I'd like nothing better than to just be a blessing to the folks that are here and maybe be an encouragement to the pastors and Lord, an encouragement to my friends. And Father, just bless my time here, Lord, and help me to be a blessing. And Lord, speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've had many times in my ministry and down through the situations that I've been faced with in my life where I felt like it wasn't worth going on. And I've never considered suicide except once. And that was when I was in high school. My girlfriend broke up with me, and it was pretty traumatic for me. I'd only had one girlfriend, and she broke up, and I actually thought about killing myself. And then I thought, if I do, I might rob some other girl of a privilege. No. So I changed my mind about that, took me a long time to get over that, though. I just couldn't imagine it. Yeah, there you go. But since I got into ministry, I spent 12 years in the military, and I love the military, and I was medically discharged out of the military in 1989, And I didn't want to get out. I wanted to stay and retire. My plan was to retire at 30 years, and during the last 15, 20 years of my military career, I was going to study comparative religion. When I retired, I was going to go to Louisville Seminary and teach comparative religion at the seminary. I was a good Southern Baptist boy, and Walter Martin was he was my hero. And I had every book he wrote. I read everything, studied all the cults and all that, you know. And he was at Dallas, and I thought he could stay at Dallas, and I'd be over here in Louisville, and we'd be a tag team and all that, you know. But the Lord had other plans, but I didn't want to get out of the Army. I wanted to stay in, but the Lord brought things into my situation there, forced me to get out, medical discharge. And I went to Tabernacle, and when I went to Tabernacle, I was down there about maybe 2 weeks, and I almost quit and left the school. I come out of a church in Germany that was a military church, and half the people in our church were mixed marriages, and a lot of black families in our church, and Koreans, and ever mixture you can think of. It was a military church. And I went to Tabernacle, and when I got to Tabernacle, I found out that Dr. Seitler wouldn't allow black people to join our church. And I was a soul winner. I was door knocking and out not telling people about the Lord. And I knew that the black people couldn't join the church. And I'm walking down the sidewalk, and there was two black men walking towards me. And I was thinking, well, I need to witness these fellas. And I thought, well, if I win them to the Lord, because I was pretty confident I could win them to the Lord, you know. And I thought, if I win them to the Lord, I don't know where to send them. I'm supposed to disciple them, but I don't have anywhere to send them. And I walked across the street to keep from confronting those two men. And I went to school that night, and I was so broken about that. I was under so much conviction about it. I almost left the school because I didn't want to go to a school where if I won somebody to Christ, I couldn't disciple that person there. And I felt very, very strong conviction about that. And I talked to Randy Holloway, who's a black man that was taking classes there and actually graduated from school there. And he encouraged me to stay there. He said, Brother Dave, we need people like you to stay in this college so that it will open people's eyes to see that black people are just as important to God as everybody else is. And so I stayed. And when I finished Bible college, I came up to Central City and preached in a church. And I preached Sunday morning. I was supposed to go back and preach Sunday night. I was candidating at this church. And Sunday night, there was a man came in, and he had a cardboard box with him. And he reached in the box, and he would hand a little plastic bag to everybody that sat on that side of the church. And I got to looking, and they were earplugs. And they were taking these things out of the bag and stick them in their ear, everybody on that side of the church, so they wouldn't have to listen to me preach. And I found out that I had went to an independent Baptist college, and they said I wasn't a real Baptist because I got out from behind the pulpit and I got too loud and all that. So they didn't want to hear me preach. I'm telling you, it hurt my feelings. I don't know if it would yours or not, but I thought about quitting over that. I thought about quitting. So anyway, the next day, a man from the other side of the church called me and asked me if I'd help him start a church. And I said, sure. So we got together, about 17 or 18 of us, and we started meeting, and I started a church with that group. We got it up about 30 or 40, and they wanted to join the convention because most of them had come out of the convention, and I told them I wasn't going to do that. So I turned it over to them, I resigned, and we were going to find another building, find a church, start another church, and I found that little church there in Central City. And I was going to just buy the building and start another church there, and found out there were three ladies that were meeting in this building praying for a preacher. I'm a preacher, so they asked me if I'd preach for them, and I did. I preached one Sunday. My wife and I decided we were going to join the church the next Sunday, and they asked me if I would be their pastor. So I became the pastor there at that church, and for 2 years, we would go up 20 or 30, and then just I'd blow everybody out. And then we go up 20 or 30 and work hard to try to get a crowd there. And we get a crowd in there, and I tell you, I'd preach something that I heard one of the big guys preach. And he could lose 30 or 40 and never even know it, but I lose 30 or 40. That's everybody, you know. And I tell you, I got so discouraged about all that. And that was about the time that Brother Noah was going through that problems that he was going through. And I almost quit. Just quit. It'd be a lot easier to quit. Well, obviously, the Lord wouldn't let me quit. And he used this passage here to help me. And I'm going to give them to you real quick. I know it's more introduction here, but I want you to know, listen, everybody goes through tough times. And we got to have something that will keep us going when we go through those tough times. And God gave me something here that might help you. It certainly has helped me. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, beginning in verse 8, I'm just going to give you I've got 7 points here. I'm going to give them to you with the verse, and you can go back and make you a message, and maybe this will help you on down the road. What keeps you going? Number one, the prospect of heaven. In verse number 8, the Bible says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." The prospect of going to heaven keeps me going. I remember why I was so excited when I got saved, because I didn't have to go to hell. And that was enough then, and it ought to be enough now. And sometimes I think about quitting, and I realize that I'm going to heaven one of these days. And you know what? No matter how bad it gets down here, I'm still going to heaven because I trusted Christ. I still believe in eternal security, amen. And you ought to. Hey, that ought to be enough right there. I'm going to heaven. The prospect of heaven just keeps me going. And I don't know, maybe that's not enough for some people, but it has been for me down through the years. Maybe because my salvation experience was so real to me that just the prospect of going to heaven is enough. I found out later on I got a lot more than just a trip to heaven when I got saved. Praise the Lord. But that's the first thing, and I see that in verse 8. And then in verse 9 and 10, another thing that keeps me going is the personal appearance that I'm going to have before the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in verse 9, "Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad." Not only the prospect of heaven keeps me going, but the personal appearance before the Lord Jesus Christ keeps me going. Sometimes I want to quit. Sometimes I want to say, boy, it'd be easier to just do it the other way. Sometimes I think, boy, I tell you, I don't want to put up the fuss anymore. I don't want to put up with the hassle anymore. And then I realize, and it comes to my mind, that one day I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to have to give an account for what I did with what He's given me. And that personal appearance before Him keeps me going. I don't know. You know, we talk about the Lord coming back, and He could come at any time, and He may come tonight. I hope He does. But I'm going to tell you something. One thing that keeps me going and keeps me fired up about serving God is the fact that I'm going to have to stand before Him one day and give an account for what I've done with my life. Keeps me going. Not only the prospect of heaven and a personal appearance, but also, if you look at verse number 11, people are perishing. That keeps me going. Verse number 11, the Bible says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience." The people are perishing. I was on my way to hell as a 12-year-old boy, and a fellow invited me to go to Sunday school with him. And I went, and he was my Sunday school teacher, and they brought me out after Sunday school. I sat on the front pew of the church, and the preacher preached on hell, and I got saved the first day I ever went to church that I remember. It was the second day I went to church. The first day I went to church was in Muhlenberg County, Kentucky. Before we went to Hawaii, my dad and mom got all four of us boys ready. We went to my granddaddy's church, sat in the back pew, all the way back in the back. The preacher got up and said, "Boy, it's good to see Charlie here from the Air Force. Charlie, why don't you stand up and pray and open the service?" And as far as I know, my dad had never been in church before in his life. And he said, "No, sir." And he stood up and got mom and said, "Let's go." and he got us boys. That was the only time I'd ever been in a church, as far as I remember. And I went to church that morning over in Hawaii, and that preacher preached on hell, and I tell you, I could feel flames coming up my legs. And I stopped the preacher and said, I don't want to go to hell. And he said, son, if you'll trust Jesus, you don't have to go to hell. And I'm telling you, I trusted Christ as my Savior that day, and I think all the time about the hundreds and hundreds and millions of little boys and girls, just like I was, sitting on playgrounds on Sunday morning, wishing somebody would just come by and show them how they don't have to go to hell. People are perishing. That's how I keep going. Oh, I want to quit sometimes, and you want to quit sometimes, but I'm telling you, we can't quit. There's a world that's dying and going to hell out there, and they need us. People are perishing. And then number four, in verse number 14, the precious love of Christ keeps me going. Verse number 14, the Bible says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The precious love for Christ keeps me going. The Bible says the love of Christ constraineth us, not the love for Christ. That's Christ's love for us is what constrains us. There's a many a night that I want to stay on my recliner and not get up and go door knocking or go out on visitation. Or sometimes on Friday or Saturday, I get to thinking, you know, I just don't feel like doing this church thing. And you know what happens? The love of Christ constrains me to go and do it. The love of Christ. Hey, listen, it's not that I love Him so much. It's that He loves me so much that motivates me to get on out the door. Somebody said that word constrains us is like somebody's pushing on you and you're resisting the whole time. It's like there's somebody pushing me so hard that I have to take a step forward. And sometimes I feel the love of Christ so strong in my life that I can't resist the push. I'm sitting on my recliner, and I'm thinking it's Thursday night, and I don't want to go on visitation, and I don't want to go out and knock on doors. And maybe some of you guys have gotten over that. If you have, maybe you can help me with that. But I still don't like going on visitation. I don't like it. Nobody ever come and visited me, and I can't figure out why I'm supposed to go and visit everybody, come and visit my church, and then I got to go out and visit them. Nobody ever did that to me. When I got saved, I wanted to go to church. But I go every week. Every week I get up and go on visitation. Been doing it for all of my ministry, and I don't want to go. I don't want to go next Thursday. I already know now I don't want to go. I'm planning on not wanting to go. Amen? I don't like it. And I have to have something that will motivate me and that will encourage me and that will push me out the door because I don't want to go. And I dare say, with a crowd this side, there's probably more than just me that don't want to go on Thursday nights or Saturday morning or whenever it is you go. Or maybe don't go. Amen? And I'm going to tell you what keeps me going, and that's the love of Christ constraining me. I can feel Him pushing on my little handle there that raises my feet up. I can feel the Lord pushing on that thing, pushing my recliner on the back. And I almost want to say, leave me alone tonight. I don't want to go. And I can feel Him pushing me right on out the door. And I get over to the church hoping that nobody else shows up. Me and Jane go to Walmart. Oh, by the way, you can do. Sometimes you're best visiting at Walmart anyway. I sit on the stool while Jane's shopping at Subway at Walmart, at our Walmart. And I do more visiting there than I do going out knocking on doors. Brother Jeff Fugit was pastor in Lexington, and we had a big snow come in. I was up in Indiana, and Brother Jeff called and said, hey, Brother Dave, said, how was your crowd this morning? I said, oh, man, we were down. He said, what'd you have? I said, oh, I don't know. We might have had 75 or 80. We were running about 150 then. I said, we had about 75 or 80. He said, well, that's pretty good. I said, we only had about 250, and they were running about 1,300 at that time. He said, the funny thing about it is, though, after church, he said, I went by Walmart and I found about 700 up and it wasn't there. Yeah. What keeps you going? The prospect of heaven, the personal appearance, people are perishing, the precious love of Christ. And then the particular need of sinners. Look at verse number 14 again. The Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all are dead." They need somebody to tell them about the life that they have in Christ Jesus. They need that, the particular need of sinners. Number 6, verse number 17. What keeps me going? The power of the gospel keeps me going. The power of the gospel. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." The power of the gospel keeps me going. First, in that verse, I see the way in Christ. And then I see the work, a new creature. And then I see the washing, old things are passed away. And then I see the wonder, behold, all things are made new. When I started pastoring in Central City, Kentucky, I had went to school at Bremen, 10 miles away. There were people that I went to high school with that could not believe that I was a preacher. They knew me when I was in high school. I was the kid in high school that poured the cologne down the banister at the ball game and lit it on fire. Flames going 20 feet up in the air. I was the kid that threw the M80 in the men's bathroom and yelled, "Bomb, bomb, boom," in the men's bathroom during the basketball game. That was the kid I was. They could not believe that I was a preacher. And so they came to the church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. People would come and say, "Is this the church that Dave Nofsinger's pastoring at?" Yeah, this is it. I'd show up and I'd have on a suit and tie, and they just absolutely could not believe it. You know what it was? It was the wonder. Behold, all things are made new. They could not believe that something as mean, I was mean as a striped snake. My dad used to tell me, "Son, if you don't straighten up, you're going to wind up in Leavenworth." That's where I pastor now, Leavenworth, Kansas. The wonder of it all things are made new. What about that? Hey, what keeps me going? I'll tell you, the power of the gospel keeps me going. The gospel has the power to change people. I have people come to me all the time as a pastor saying, "Brother Dave, pray for this fellow, or pray for that, pray for my uncle, or pray for my dad, pray for my wife. God needs to get a hold of them." A young lady got saved Sunday morning over at Brother Clark's church there, and she came every night, every service to the revival. And she told me last night, she said, "Brother Dave, if you just pray for my husband, he's going to need God. He's not going to know what's going on when he comes back from Afghanistan or wherever it is that he's deployed to. When he gets back, this is all going to be different for him, and he needs God." You know what I told her? The gospel can change him. The gospel, listen, you start praying for him right now that God will soften his heart up, because the gospel can change that man. It changed her. Amen. And it changed me, the power of the gospel. And then the last thing, and I'll get out of here. In verse number 18, what keeps me going? The prospect of heaven, the personal appearance, people perishing, the precious love of Christ, particular needs of sinners, the power of the gospel, and the program of the ministry keeps me going. Verse number 18, the Bible says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation." What keeps me going? God gave me a responsibility to reach a world without Christ. He gave me the ministry of reconciliation. I'll tell you something that keeps me going more than any other one thing. And that is, when I go out and I knock on doors, or when I go and make a personal visit, or I go and make a soul winning visit, or even when I get to go and preach in my church, and we have somebody come down the aisle and I get to take the Bible, or I get to give that task to someone else, and I know that one of the reasons why they came is because the gospel has been preached and I've had the opportunity to do the ministry of reconciliation. Boy, I tell you, there's nothing excites me anymore than to see someone else trust Christ as their Savior. Nothing excites me more. There is nothing that motivates me more to stay in the ministry than for me to see God working in people's lives and me see families being brought back together that were coming apart. There is nothing that motivates me more. Nothing will keep me going when I want to quit any more than to see God do a work in people's hearts. There's nothing more exciting to a preacher than to see God doing a work in a family. Nothing more exciting about it. You know, down through the years, there has been many times when I've thought about quitting. I was thinking about this last night. The Rochesters were over at Brother Clark's church last night, and boy, what a great blessing it was to my wife and I when I got out of the Army, moved to Tabernacle. My wife and I met the Rochesters for the first time, and that was just before they went on the road full time. And Becky was in school there at Tabernacle, and she quit that semester to go on the road. And so we've known them all the way through their ministry. They're working on 25 years of singing, you know, old songs that they did 25 years ago. And my wife and I have been friends with them for all those years, all those 20-some years that we've known them. And they come in there, and I got to thinking last night about Brother Ricky. And I've known him for, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, 13, 14 years, I don't know. And Brother R, since 89, since I got out of the service. And I think about those 30-some guys that I went to Bible college with, that graduated with me, and how many of them are not in the ministry anymore. And all the singing groups that started out back then. And boy, I tell you, they were some good ones. And the dollar sign has changed some of them. And so many men have gotten out of the ministry and they've quit doing what God called them to do. And I think about Brother Ricky and Brother R and Brother Noah and people like that are just staying by the stuff. And I think about the Rochester still singing the same good solid gospel songs that they've always done. And they haven't, listen. If any group has ever had the opportunity to go the way of money, it was them. You all know that. You know how good they are. And they've been offered opportunity after opportunity that they've turned down because their testimony is way more important than the dollar bill is to them. And I tell you, if for no other reason to keep going, if for no other reason because those men have been faithful, and those people have been faithful down through the years. I don't ever want anybody to have to turn and say, "Did you hear what happened to Brother Dave? Did you hear what happened to Brother Dave? Wow, what happened? He's out of the ministry." Oh, I'd have never guessed it. I can't imagine hearing something like that about some of you men. I just can't imagine it. What keeps you going? Well, I don't know. Maybe some of those things that I just mentioned to help you. I don't know. But I'll tell you something that probably keeps me going. It's not one of the points, but it certainly is a point. And that is when I walked in the door here this morning. And as long as I've known Brother R, we've had this camp meeting over here. 1989, I guess, first time we ever come over here. And I've missed a bunch of them. I know that. But I'm going to tell you something that keeps me going is knowing that every year, the faithfulness of this church and this pastor and you men that are here every time I come, I see some of the same faces, and that kind of stuff keeps me going. And I want to say thank you, Brother R. I love you, buddy. Come on, I'm done.